then either the Western way of expressing affection at the time of the appearance of the birth of someone, if there is affection, is meaningful. If there is no affection in preparing the cake and singing the song, then this is really more or less not so meaningful. It is not entirely a waste of time, but almost a waste of time. So, if you take the other form, the other partial expression, then we offer for the ceremony. When there is affection, it is really meaningful. It is when there is no affection in it, then it is almost not important. Some little benefit is there. And this at once brings us to the subject matter of my little address today. Our next steps in Krishna consciousness. I really feel it is time to announce a new motto in your practice. It is time to give more life to your practice, the things which you already do. And that is to do them consciously, understanding the essence and then expressing affection. See, the bhakti starts really there. The devotee recognizes his dependence on the Lord and wishes to express his affection through various activities, chanting and engaging in the nine forms of devotional service, with no except expectation of return, or let us say as little as possible expectations of return. Without this idea of understanding our dependence on Krishna and Guru in Krishna, and then in gratitude offering our affections through expressions like the devotional service, without this our bhakti will remain a little lifeless. I so much appreciated how you felt it is good to bring life into this installation, to call Lord Nityananda by a nice arati ceremony, a welcoming ceremony, and a kirtan. And I must say, while I was doing this and participating in it, I noticed a very small detail which I had overlooked, but a detail which makes all the difference. I noticed tears in the eyes of Lord Nityananda. Later, when the ceremony is over, I request you to come close. You will be able to see them from close. I had been close, but only when I did this puja and sang the kirtan was my heart enough opened so that I could see this. It came alive. You know, a Padmashe figure doesn't cry tears. It's not there. Water is not there. Paper and paper mache. Only a living person cries tears, calls out, and so on. So we need to bring bhakti for us alive. Bhakti is always alive, but in our lives we need to bring it alive through, I would say, a conscious participation which starts with thinking of Krishna while we do this. I would like to talk about this now, this next step, and develop my theme from the beginning to the end. I will try to be brief because I know we want to celebrate birthday and not listen to yet another philosophical presentation. So too long. Little is okay. I need to see if our oxygen suppliers are willing to assist us. Please repeat this. Three, nine, six. Our. Let me see. I think our devotee was in ecstasy when he wrote it down. Our devotee was so much in ecstasy that he wrote down text one, but I remember writing down text six, Gaur Krishna.
I 396
to a devotee who was overwhelmed in transcendental ecstasy. Is it possible to correct it? Aha, it's not so difficult. I thought now you need to write it down in the computer. 396. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tavat svayam dravinateha surinimittam. Shokaspriha paribhavo vipulascha loba. Avanmamedya satavakraha atimulam. Yavanna tingrim abayam pavirnita loka. Bayam dravina deha surin nimittam. Shoka spriha paribhavo vipulascha loba. Avanna medya satavakraha atimulam. Yavanna tingrim abayam pavinita loka.
This is a shloka spoken by Lord Brahma about the people of the world. Oh my Lord, he says, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They are always afraid. They always try to protect their wealth, their body and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia. And they avariciously, means greedily, base their undertakings on the perishable conception of my and mine. As long as these people do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. I will read during my lecture a little of the, I will read from the purport, but I want to just go back with you. This is a description of the material people the materialistic people who are not Krishna conscious, they identify totally with something which is wrong. I am the body, and he thinks around me, which I use, are mine. And as a result, they are full of anxieties. Something might happen with my body and my possessions. And they don't know about their future. They are obsessed with desire. They do not know what is happiness. Srila Prabhupada once said, we are trying to give these people that happiness which will never be exhausted. They will always have more and more and more of this. That is our objective of happiness. No? We're trying to give these people who search for happiness a happiness which will never be exhausted. That is our mission. It's a very nice statement. No, it's very well. This is a good mission. So, when we come, I want to talk about happiness today. See, as living entities, we always want enjoyment. We can't help it. Either we want it on the material platform, or we want it in the spiritual realm. And this is because by our constitutional nature, the way we are born, we are a bhokta. Bhokta means the word enjoyment is in there. We require some enjoyment. This is how we are wired, so to say. This is how we tick. You could say timepieces like this wristwatch. Oops, I forgot to wind it up. They need to be wound. They will be wound up, and they show time. That's all they do. They don't sing or they don't eat. They show time. In the same way, our nature is that we go for enjoyment. We eat, we sleep, and so on. And the only question is for us, what type of enjoyment we will go for. Is it material enjoyment, which is limited, or is it spiritual enjoyment, which is unlimited? That's the only question which we have to really... maybe there are other questions also, but it's a very important question which we need to decide. In a broader sense, bhokta means not just an enjoyer, it means also to experience things. We need to see things, we need to hear things. The worst thing you can do with a human being is to lock him up in a cell where he cannot experience anything. He will die like a fish out of water. He's made like this, to experience things, to enjoy things. And kata also. Kata means to be active, to do things in this world. But this question needs to be decided. Do I wish to do this on the material or on the spiritual platform? The highest benefit for a jiva, the highest, let me say, thing where he can really enjoy is to experience a relationship of love with the unlimited Lord. I think even in this world we know that the highest possible fulfillment of life is to experience a truly loving relationship. I remember a good while ago, Uta Bhavana in the Sangha Mela, I think, gave a very nice lecture where he made the point that if a person feels love and experiences love, whoa, then he is fine. Then he is secure, he's able to deal with the challenges of life, the obstacles, and so on. But we look for loving relationships. And the ultimate benefit, where we can find really everything, is in a loving relationship with Krishna. Now this relationship starts with faith. I like very much how the devotees made this road. It should not end with me. It should. It is. If you look carefully, the road continues and goes to Radhika Nayalal. I'm just happening to sit on the road and hopefully not block anyone. but that's the idea. You can also see these deities. They are most stunningly beautiful, merciful. And the first step really on this journey is the road, is Shraddha of faith. And when you have lost your faith, you have interrupted your journey, and you need to really work hard to again come back to the position of faith and strengthen it so much that as you do your journey, your faith turns into a feeling where you really know, I don't want my material attachments and I don't need them any longer. You will become steady in Krishna consciousness, really attached to Krishna. Your faith, in other words, grows and morphs like a little child who is first a babbling baby and then is a finance manager and hopefully in the end a saint. It grows. The faith will grow. It's a journey of faith which brings you into Krishna. Now, it's very important, if we do not find this loving relationship with Krishna, which is the highest need of the jiva, we will, by our nature, be driven to enjoy materially. And if you just think of material enjoyment, what it really is you bring some objects of enjoyment to your senses, they connect with this and they send a little signal, yes, the fitting object has come, the fitting dead thing has come, and then there's a chemical reaction in the brain and you go, oh, happy, happy, happy. The same thing you can shorten by giving just a serotonin injection, a chemical injection, and you don't need the object. You feel happy, happy. It's just a chemical thing. This is material enjoyment. It has been called a surrogate. I know this is a difficult English word, and I hope I pronounce it properly. Surrogate? Mm-hmm. There is such a word. It is a replacement for the real thing. When you go for material enjoyment, which is really the replacement, which doesn't give you what your soul hankers for, something happens. It's a avidya, or ignorance covers you. The ignorant is where you take the non-self to be the self, where you think the material body, which is temporary, to be your spiritual body, which is eternal. Or you think the material body, which is painful when you twist it a little bit, to be the joyous Sachit Ananda. You make a mistake. And from there, from this mistake, from this avidya, comes karma, not karma, karma, material desires, which push you forward. You don't know anything about the real enjoyment and the spiritual world, and you go and create a lot of karma. No? Karma creates karma. Yes. So the Lord does not become frustrated when his devotees are making this mistake of turning to material things instead of going for the truly loving relationship in the Sachit Ananda, in this eternal dimension full of knowledge and full of bliss. He waits for something very special. Rupa Goswami describes to us very easily in understandable terms for what the Lord waits. It's called an anukulya. It's a favorable mood towards Krishna. Something you like, oh, Krishna is so wonderful. Krishna is so amazing. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so merciful. And let me express something. Let me chant his name. Let me also do some service. Something which is an expression of your favorable inclination. That's how bhakti starts. So you must like something about Krishna. Anukul yena. That you must think, oh, Krishna is wonderful. Let me go to him. Let me do something for him. Now, at this first stage, as you start, Krishna does not require you to be absolutely free from this mistake. He doesn't expect that you are free of all material desires. There is a anya bilashita sunya. He doesn't say anya bilas sunya. The devotee must be free from all desires to start this favorable journey to Krishna, where he feels something for Krishna. He says anya bilashita. That means there may be some desires still there, but anya bilashita means in general he doesn't want. He wants Krishna now, but there is something still attached to him. Like, you know, the old chocolate, when you give a child some chocolate, he has some chocolate still around the mouth. Many of you have chocolate around the mouth. I can see it from here. There is some traces which tell us what you did just a little while ago. Hare Krishna, this is poetic expression. No problem. I mean, yes, it's a problem, but it doesn't keep you away from bhakti. It doesn't keep you away from Krishna consciousness. All what Krishna looks for is this person favorably inclined to me? Does he like me? Does he want to do something for me? And as the devotee engages more and more in the practices of bhakti, these other the things which are, let me say, traces from this avidya, karma, and karma. That goes away. It's very simple. If you increase the light to that degree, the darkness goes away. Remember yesterday or the day before? Yesterday. Do you also feel so much is happening in one day that so many talks, so many new thoughts, so many inspirations? I saw a few of the initiates crying happiness. So much happening in one day. I wanted to express something very simple. If you are 5% thinking of Krishna and wanting to serve him, then by your nature, because you are only using 5 of your 100% to enjoy, the 95% which you are not using for Krishna will bring you to the avidya, the karma, and the karma. Huh? If you engage 10%, then it's a different proportion. Then 90% you have material life. If you engage 20% in thinking of Krishna, then you will think 80% of material life. And if you train your mind more and more as you go through life to think favorably of Krishna, with some affection of Krishna, then, my dear devotees, the result is you think more and more. You may ask, do I have to think 100% of Krishna? Then only I go back to Krishna. I heard one lecture, and I heard also Giri of Prabhupada, and I heard how Giriraj Maharaj gave a lecture. I remembered asking Prabhupada about it. And I also heard something which happened in the London temple. Prabhupada was addressing the question to how much percentage do we have to, you know, think of Krishna and not of material life. What is the percentage? And he said, this was in London, he said, in order to reach Krishna and be in your loving relationship, you must be 100% free from material desires. He went like, oh. Then he saw us and he said, to reach Krishna, you must be 80% free from desire. Then he said something, 75, but not less. And then he left the Vyasasa. And there are other lectures where he also said, and it is consistent with our philosophy, that even in bhava, that means when you have already love for Krishna, there are still some traces, some chocolate around the mouth, in other words. You know, some traces means some remembrances, and if you had done offenses, you're still affected by them to that degree. But the whole idea, my dear devotees, and I really want to make this point and drive it home, not for long, for you need to be attentive. Please, please, please increase the time where you think of Krishna with affection. Krishna consciousness is not just a matter of doing things mindlessly, ritualistically, by rote, it's called in English, not rote, but by rote, R-O-T-E. You can look it up. I also learned it. You know, it's something mechanic to do it over and over again. That's what we do here, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. No, but if you learn to turn to Krishna with that affection, wow, then it really starts. I just come from this wonderful kirtan event, Radha Deshmelos, where I can really recommend it. It's a very done and very nice Krishna conscious taste. And this time I was not able to participate so much because there was a other program which I really felt strongly I had to attend, and somehow it could not be scheduled differently. But I noticed a difference. I told, when we were driving here with the car, I told the devotees, oh, previously I used to be able to sit 8 hours in the kirtan, and after 8 hours of the kirtan I felt so much light in my light in the sense of weight, the burden had been taken away from my consciousness, and I had really been able to think of Krishna. When I went from the kirtan to my room, I was singing all the time on the way. When I was in the room, I continued to sing. Then I looked outside if anyone is passing. No. Then I danced in my room. And I was felt very... Then I didn't want to go to bed. Let me read something about Krishna. I am very attached now to Krishna. I don't want to sleep. The boring sleep. Who needs to sleep? You always say this in the evening, but in the morning you have another perspective. You stay up. But this time I couldn't, I was able to attend mostly my own slots and some other small slots, and I noticed a difference. Whereas the devotees, there was one devotee who traveled with me, and he said, I was from 8 to 10 hours in the Kedan. And I said, how do you feel? And he said, amazingly blissful. It's unusual that I'm so blissful. Mm-hmm. I have usually my resting place, but here I'm very blissful. Because, yes, if you increase your time with Krishna, but it must be done with anukulya, with affection, then, my dear devotees, you will really see how the light of Krishna consciousness spreads, or the sun of Krishna consciousness spreads, and the darkness of this avidya, this ignorance, and karma means material desires, and karma, the reaction, it is slowly becoming less, and one day it will be gone. My dear devotees, if it wouldn't be like this, if the entry into bhakti would only be possible for those who are anyabilas, that means free from all desires, there are no conditioned soul who is by definition in avidya and has karma and karma, would have any chance to enter the path of bhakti. No chance at all. But because Krishna is so kind that he accepts anyone who's anyabilashita, that means in general, he has some accidental material, this and that, and so on. But he wants him, because Krishna accepts such soul. We all have a chance, because he considers such a devotee a pure devotee, his own. The proof is when Ajamir chanted the name of the Lord, he even did not think of the Lord so much. He thought of his son. Krishna thought, he's mine. Now, in general, we should not chant like Ajamil, or do like Ajamil, but let's not take this example. In general, we must follow the instructions of the Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami, who says, in general, you must have that favorable feeling to Krishna. Now, what is a good way to cultivate this favorable feeling to Krishna? It is possible when you accept a certain mindset. I don't want my right any longer, I want mercy. It's a shift of consciousness. It is coming when you become what is called dainya. That is someone who feels small before the Lord, and he feels in need of the Lord, he feels dependent on the Lord. Then very quickly love comes. There are six ways of surrender. And it really starts, if you want to practice it, not by giving up the favorable things and then accepting the, giving up the unfavorable things and then accepting the favorable. It starts really from the back by being humble. I am dependent on Krishna. Then only you can give up unfavorable things and give up favorable. You must start with dainyam, feeling small and dependent and in need of help. This is there for the beginners and for the most advanced devotees. And I have this, the devotees on the highest level of bhakti are the gopis, and they have the most dainyam. We, as we start, have little dainya, but that we need. Little the feeling of smallness, of dependency, I would translate it here. Mm-hmm. Look how the gopis feel. They think everyone else who has some connection with Krishna is more fortunate than they are. They think the earth, our Lord goes with his footsteps over the earth and leaves his footsteps on the surface of the earth. We are not so fortunate to have such a close contact with Krishna. He is out in the throughout the day herding the cows. The earth is more fortunate. See, they feel so. They feel, then they look at the Yamuna and think, oh, Krishna goes to the Yamuna and waters his cows in the Yamuna. And he comes in contact with the Yamuna. And the Yamuna is so pleased that with her waves, she offers lotus flowers to Krishna's lotus feet. We are not so fortunate at the Yamuna. We don't have such close contact with the Yamuna. And we cannot openly offer our gifts of affection to Krishna like the Yamuna. And then they look around in the forest of Vrindavan and they see creepers. These are little plants which don't grow in Bengal on the palm trees, but circumambulate upwards. They wind themselves around the desire trees of Vrindavan. Krishna goes there and he touches the creeper. And sometimes he asks devotees to water the creeper, but the creepers are most fortunate. We are not so fortunate as Krishna. The birds and the canes and the deers, they all can see Krishna, offer darshan with their eyes to Krishna. Even the simple Pulinda woman, these are folk people, they see the footprints of Krishna on the ground of Vrindavan and they take the dust and smear it all over. The cowherd boys, they freely play with Krishna. We can't do this. This feeling of dainya is necessary if you want the highest. If you want the highest, you must bow down low. It's paradoxical. It's one secret which the devotees know. You must, and bow down low means that you are in association with devotees. You cannot quarrel with them. Or that destroys your bhakti. Look in your heart. How much bhakti do you have? How often do you think with Krishna at Krishna's lotus feet with love and affection? No? How often are you able to think of Krishna? My dear devotees, not so often. That's because you are not bowing down. You don't feel humble deep in the social affair you do. Oh, please forgive me if I did any offense. Everyone tells this to me nowadays in English-speaking countries. And I ask, have you thought about your statement? How could you make an offense? We are only meeting for 30 seconds. You're just saying something and not meaning. What do you think in your foolish head? Then I become, smile again and give gifts. And Krishna. So very, very not formally humble. Not just please accept my humble obeisances. The might is something else is going on. You must be able to have the dainya. It's called humility in relationship to others, that's a manifestation of dainyam. But dainyam usually is in relationship to Krishna. Humility in relationship to devotees is only an expression of dainyam. The real thing is, oh Krishna, dainyam, I'm wretched. I'm desperate. I'm not yet in Krishna consciousness. Where will I go if I continue like this? Maybe I think sometimes 2% of you in the day, if I'm lucky, or so many births are ahead of me. When will I join you? When will I have my loving relationship with you? Now I'm just identifying happiness with some chemical reaction in my unfortunate life. When will my real life start? When will I live finally? When will I join you? This is called dhyanam in relationship to Krishna. You can only get anything in this on this path when you know, if I want the highest, I have to go to the dhyanam point. Uddhava prays for this. He wants to be born in Vrindavan, but he thinks, I don't think I'm qualified to be an associate of Krishna. I'm just some plant, not even a big tree. I will just be a gulma, means a creeper, some little medicinal shrub. And Brahma prays also, oh my Lord, you are so wonderful. I'm not qualified to really be one of your associates, so let me just be there and be the dust on the feet of the devotees. This is enough for me. Dhyanam, true dhyanam. Anyways, when you have this, my dear devotees, then you can think of Krishna lovingly, and then you can do something else which is important. What?
Chanting.
Why do you say this? I'm asking. Don't feel intimidated.
Because according to humility, as it's said in Shikshastakam, you have to be humble as the blade of grass.
Yeah.
Only in that mood we can chant the holy
name. Yeah, we can chant the holy name always. We can always. Sada Hari, it says. Always means Sada. In Croatian language it means now, but in Sanskrit it means always. We can chant for a long time only with this mood. Otherwise our chanting is interrupted and distracted, and our mind is here and there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What's new on my app? No, app is not. What's up? What's new? I know your culture. You need, if you want to think of Krishna and do your next step in your Krishna consciousness and become a happy devotee, free from the worries of material life, bring Krishna in your life. I have a personal experience to tell you. Can I tell it and then
yes.
Good. This morning I felt a little drained in my energy. I had been very long up to just read a little, and also I needed to prepare what I wanted to say to you today. I had prepared something, but it was not so pointed. So, and also I had given initiation, and a lot of comes through, some karma comes through, it has to go somewhere, and I felt like every morning, the day after, But now I knew I had to chant my rounds before the festival, because during the festival and after there's no time, and I was getting up earlier and chanting and was tired. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, now I know how most of you chant. Oh, I felt a lot of compassion. It was so hard. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Krishna. No feeling, nothing in the heart. Empty, empty. Then I decided, okay, today is an important day. Today is birthday. So,
And I like birthday. This was the, it's a blessing for me. I got my human form of life and I met Prabhupada. It's very nice day also for me. So then I decided, okay, we must do something now. Let me read something about Krishna. And I read about the Brahma Vimohana Leela. You know how Lord Brahma had seen Krishna performing this miracle by absorbing the soul of Agasura in his body after he had killed him. You know this. And afterwards, he had just completed this fact, so everyone could see how the soul of Agasura entered the body of the Lord and received liberation. But afterwards, he ate with his cowherd boys, and it was so informal. They stole from each other's plate. Brahma was bewildered. This can't be the origin of the Vedic scriptures. It can't be. I mean, he is breaking all the cleanliness rules here. You know, he's eating what another has half eaten. And let me test who this boy really is. He must be. Maybe he's a magician, but my magic is better. So what he decided to do is, he was stealing the cowherd. He wanted to steal the cowherd boys. He needed to first and see what Krishna would do then. He needed to first allure Krishna away from his friends. So Krishna played along. Then Brahma took away the cows. Then the cowherd boy said, we have to find the cows. But Krishna said, no, we know this. Brahma testing me. I will find the cowherd boys. The cows. And he went and immediately, by his yoga maya potency, he brought the cowherd boys to the Yamuna and asked Mahamaya to manifest a set of identical cowherd boys at the place where they had eaten and where Brahma would arrive within milliseconds in order to steal them. Do you understand? This is the first thing he did. Yoga Maya, bring them away. I don't want my associates to be in touch with a thief, a kidnapper. They will stay there and arrange that they will be very happy, and they don't know how the time is passing. They will be very happy. Then Brahma came, took that set of Maya cowherd boys, brought and stole them and kidnapped them. Krishna knew all this. Then Brahma finally came back and when to see what Krishna had done, and what he saw is that Krishna himself had expanded himself into a third set of cowherd boys. So I know it's getting complicated, but Krishna wants to put Brahma in an illusion. With us it goes very quick, but Brahma is Brahma. So there's the original cowherd boys. Where are they? Where?
Yamuna.
Yeah. There's the second set. They were expanded by whom?
Brahma.
Yeah. Where are they?
Cave.
Where Brahma had hid them in the cave. And now as Brahma returns, there's the third set of cowherd boys. Who are they?
Krishna.
Krishna, yeah. Expansion of Krishna, yes. Oh, but he knew, Krishna knew, he's worshipping Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the 400 Vasudev form. So let me show him. Brahma came back and said, I have stolen these. He quickly went back. They were lying, of course, in the caves. Then he came back. But here they are again. At that moment, Krishna said, and all the cowherd boys
transformed in unlimited forms of Vishnu. In other words, he had opportunity to say a lot, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Unlimited form. This is my Shakti, behold. Bhava was thinking. He prayed, but then he thought, I must think this over. So he went to his palace. He wanted to go into the thinking chamber, the room where he thinks deep thoughts. But as he was going into the, wanting to go into the palace, the guard stopped him. Who are you? Can't you see? Four-headed Brahma. The guard said, you are an imposter. Get away here. Brahma, the creator, is sitting down. Is sitting in his thoughtful room, you know. He's sitting there. Can you? What? No, I'm Brahma. I know. I mean, now I don't know anything any longer. So Brahma went to Vrindavan, and then he thought, my servants saw me in the thinking chamber, the thoughtful chamber. That means there is someone there. They say I'm an imposter, but I know. I don't take drugs, I know. Only so much use. I know I am Brahma. Ah, it's him. It's my Lord. My Lord has gone. He, just like he has changed into cowherd boys, he changed up there on my planet into Brahma. Ah, now I understand the whole thing. It's my Lord who works here. So I read this. I thought about it. I smiled about how Krishna so tactfully corrects Brahma by his mystic power. And all my unhappiness went. I was not unhappy, but my exhaustion went. And I felt, wow, let's celebrate birthday. And let me tell the devotees what helped me today. That is thinking of Krishna. With affection, with admiration, Krishna, you are so wonderful. That lifted my material mind from the material platform to a more Krishna conscious platform. I wish these moments would increase in my life, and I wish for you also that you have happy days in your life. A day is happy when you can think of Krishna, surrender to Krishna, serve Krishna, and a day is terribly written with anxiety, lamentation. What does this verse say? And Brahma speaks about it. He knows, you know, he had unlawful desires, fears or insecurities, we say nowadays, attachments to material things, and a lot of I and mine. These days are not happy days. As long as you do not take shelter at Krishna's safe lotus feet, my dear devotees, you will be in avidya, karma, and karma, and you will mistake pleasures, the real pleasures, for what this world has to offer. Our next step together, I don't want to exclude myself, is let us think more of Krishna favorably, with happiness in our heart. Just like in the morning I felt, oh Krishna, I can just imagine you making a little fun by just taking the form of Brahma, sitting on his plan, seat, on a throne, and when the servants come and say, Brahma, there is someone else there who looks like exactly like Brahma, you know. And then you say with a smile, he is a rascal. Tell him to get lost.
And this is like, he thinks, I'm telling my servant, I'm correcting my servant. After all, Brahma is my servant. I don't want to be too heavy with him. I will be kind with him, but in a way that he will figure things out and correct his attention. And when Brahma understood this, he said, "My Lord, I'm the lowest of your devotees. I try to test you. Please, if you want to be merciful to me, give me the position of just a little dust in your Vrindavan, so that sometimes the devotees come and touch me with their feet. This would be enough." This is the world of love, my dear devotees. This is the world which we want to participate in, the world of Krishna, where we feel a loving relationship with the Lord. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Could you understand what I wanted to say? Is it all right? Polite smiles. Hare Krishna. No, I think you are all listening and digesting it. I know you have heard me, and I know you have some devotees came to me. I'm very pleased with you and the festival, how it goes. But some devotees came to me and I said, how was the disciple meeting? I was not so sure because, we don't see each other so regularly. We see each other once a year, and I want to serve you and say something which is meaningful to you. And the devotee said, yes. And then someone else came and said, I just came from the kitchen and the devotees talk about the points which you made. And then I walked back to my room and I met other devotees, and I was walking from the back, and they also talked about some points. And so I request you to be thoughtful about this discover new things. My realization in Krishna consciousness, really, honestly, not as a preacher, as in my life, is when I have the right attitude, I always discover new things, and I think, well, how could I not see this before? It is an unlimited treasury box with very exciting jewels. It's very enjoyable, very happy. So much happiness can be there. Hare Krishna. Now I want to end here. My unconsciousness will push me, because now I'm a little shy by nature, and when you do all these things of saying thank you, then I'm a little shy. I should stop and let you do what you wish to do. Thank you very much for listening, and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.